Thanks very much for talking to me. I enjoyed your film, A Savage Christmas, and I'd really like to know a little bit about Mad Dan Productions.
Oh, look, we've been creating, content and working on projects for a good 10 plus years. It's made up of myself and Dan Mulverhill, Mads and Dan, Mad Dan, and Dan's a bit mad, so it all works out. We've been doing a bit of stuff in that space for a long time, and slowly and surely, as you can imagine, with indie projects, you start to get a few different runs on the board, and your projects get bigger and better to a point. So yes, A Savage Christmas is spawned from that, and then under the umbrella of Roaring Entertainment with our other co-producer Ben McNeil, who's come in to the team. And of course, Dan and I have opened out our writing, our co-writing with Max De Hoofer as well. So it was the three of us with A Savage Christmas that of the last couple of years to make that eventuate as well. We had a web series called Sexy, which was quite an out there piece. I think that really set the scene for kind of what we like to do as well, where it kind of gives a bit of an idea of our unique creative voice. So I think Savage Christmas also kind of is a nice stepping stone from there as well.
Yeah, because what you really like doing is wacky comedy, don't you?
You can say that, that's for sure. Yeah, we like to push the boundaries where we can, and obviously be mindful of making that inclusive when we do it as well.
Yeah, and that's really goes to the heart of A Savage Christmas. I mean, it's the classic awful Christmas, but that's what Christmas can be. But at the heart of it, you've got all these different types of personalities and characters, and as you say, very inclusive. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you came arrived at all the different characters?
Again, a Mad Dan original kind of genesis, if you will. We started this as a theatre play, and we were developing it in that way. And it was always meant to be really domestically charged and quite an incredible ensemble piece in whatever way we could make it. And inspiration was, of course, things like August Osage County and Long Day's Journey Into Night. And we were really taken with the idea of being in real time and not kind of time jumping, and just really honoring the different spaces and different configurations of a group of people. And what better group of people than a family, of course, to explore, which makes a lot of sense. But particularly a family that don't normally spend much time together and have elements of estrangement. So that was another factor that added the conflict, of course, and then the comedy that could spawn from that as well. But the characters, there's been quite a few characters that sustained since the original theatre play that we had. The matriarch and patriarch, James Senior and Brenda, they came through, and Jimmy Junior as well. He made his way through, and then a couple of the other characters started to come from having writers' rooms and other voices and minds on it, and their experiences infused, particularly obviously Max as well, and his journey and his queer experience and transition experience. That really started to open up the doors for our other characters, such as Leah and Kane and Davina. Yeah, it was just a little bit of a kind of slow organic process to build that up, and every time new characters were introduced, I guess, into the family dynamic and how that fit, it would crack it back open, and quite a bit of surgery was required for the screenplay, and we had to just go through many incarnations, and that can be very intense, but it's so worth it when you've got all these incredible minds, working with you and collaborating with you to get it to that point. So it does feel like a very mixed bag, but it's been very time honored to try and carefully, I guess, craft this group of people as a family.
And it's very modern, really, because you're including characters, a person in transition, their boyfriend, the confrontation with more traditional so that's a really interesting bringing to the screen something that is in the forefront of a modern conceptualization, isn't it?
Yes, most definitely. And I think, even when Max gave us permission to really explore the character of Davina, and then of course Kane, and of course getting Thea Ravenor on our gorgeous actress playing Davina, and having her input and giving her that autonomy, and you know, really being sure to make it clear that Davina's not worthy and not perfect either, and she's figuring it out too, and learning how to teach people how to treat her, which all of us have to do to a point, but it's even harder with family that put you in a box and expect you to stay there if you're definitely growing and evolving. And I think regardless of you know, transitioning, for instance, that's a great vehicle for a character to show I've grown so much, I've changed so much. But we're all kind of trying to do that as people, and family sometimes kind of hold a mirror up to us and make us question how far we really have come or not. But I guess the other point is too, we wanted to make sure we were having other entry points for the audience, for other voices around particularly Davina's experience as well, and how they felt about it. And even if it felt like it wasn't making much sense to her, it was true for them. So we were trying to honour, I guess, the truths of every family member.
Well, Kane's a great character. And the deadpan line of you know, James saying, "Oh, you know, I'm not relaxed. I'm, you know, you people don't, you know, you wouldn't have been." He said, "We always were here. We always were here. You know,
yeah.
Our society just didn't include us in the script."
That's right. That scene, gosh, that was such a good one. Our cinematographer Fung, he could not stop laughing behind the camera. It was shaking in that scene. And it's funny when different people kind of pop off at different scenes. But that is, I love that you brought that up, because that is such the heart of at least Davina and Kane's experience in this family dynamic. And just reminding people that just because you haven't chosen to see and hear us doesn't mean we're not there. We've always been here. I love that you, picked up on that.
I thought that was hilarious.
It was so well done.
Yeah, it was. It was beautifully. And, of course, having the outsider there, Kane as the outsider, you know, the reasonable voice, you know, da-da-da-da, watching this family go ballistic was such a great idea within the framework of this crazy story.
Totally. Kane was always giving us permission to go, okay, this is getting hectic now, you know. And I'm glad that you felt that too, because we really wanted to make sure he was kind of caretaking, I guess, the audience to a point, and being that consciousness that we needed in this little crazy petri dish of people. But, yeah, you really feel for him at the end. He really starts to crack at himself, because he's so well-meaning and gorgeous and polite and trying to help them come together. And even by the end, he's just like, oh, I give up.
Well, you've got a wonderful collection of actors, great actors, I'll have to say. David Roberts is fantastic. Oh. Isn't he a great actor?
Oh, it's just James Senior for me. I you know, he's got such a clown David to him, but he's just so passionate in how he works, and he really gets into it. And I love this earnesty he brought to James Senior, this patriarch, of course, and of, you know, narcissistic traits galore, all of the stuff. But it's like he so bought his own shit. It was just incredible. And I think there's some line where he's like, "I don't have an ego, mate." Like, and it's just the fact that he's just been nothing but ego the whole way through. And it's he just brought something so magical to that role.
It doesn't take away from the other fabulous people. I mean, no. Helen Thompson, no. Who plays Brenda. I mean, what a consistent performer.
I know, and just her faces, she's so iconic as Brenda in what she brings. But it was amazing because they were both perfect for the roles as well, you know. They just both energetically could click in. And
of course, Darren Gilshennon.
Yes.
His character is so fly. It's fantastic. Did he create that character?
Actually, Uncle Dick was another that made it all the way through from our Genesis as well. Darren obviously brought so much to the role. He was always going to be the clown for us, the comic relief to a point. It was so wonderful to earn those moments of hilarity with him, where it got a little heightened and it got a little crazy, and he just did it so beautifully. But he is really serious about his craft, which I love. Like, comedy is a serious business, and he was so passionate about what he did and really kind of took the time to to think through how what his offers would be on set and what his was his plans were for what he was going to bring in each scene. And further to that, he's an acting teacher as well, so and has such a theatrical background. And he ended up being such an amazing support and holding space for some of our emerging actors that hadn't been on set before as well, which was really lovely. And it's kind of speaking to this generosity of spirit that he has and the rest of the team had as well, the actors. It was really important that we had that going for us, that actors knew that, you know, we're here all together and some of us haven't ever been on set before and we're going to just get in there and get our hands dirty and work as a real team or family, if you will. So I was so lucky to have that.
Of course, Gary Sweet has now made himself the most scariest character. I mean, I've seen him in a variety of things where he's been the hard man. He does it so well.
Oh, he did. He really slayed it, didn't he? And I just love that he did it all in thongs and stubbies this time around. Very Queensland-esque, of course. We had one first little scene, and I don't think he really had to speak much in it, but by the second scene we were tackling together, all of a sudden this English accent pops out, and it was just like, boom, baby, he's a geezer. Of course he is, you know, like... it was really wonderful just to have that just happy accent or this kind of thing just pop out of him. And it was like, God damn, Gazza, you're really serving it. So yeah, he was a dream to work with. And I think Peter's so lovable in his own way, as scary as he is as well.
Yeah, no, and the absurd element of even gangsters have children that have to wait in the car.
It does. It's obviously touching on some pretty like darker themes, of course, with children and Christmas. You know, even Child Protective Services gets brought up and what that looks like. And again, that's not lost on us as filmmakers and what we've been trying to do here. It's like cracking open and creating a dialogue around these very, very things. There's these very real things that are happening.
This is why you do comedy, isn't it? Because you're talking yep. about comedy and tragedy at the same time, aren't you?
Totally. I mean, exactly right. I think, you know, for at least with Mad Dan and what we started and set out to do, a manifesto of sorts for us was always we wanted to do socially charged stuff, you know, that was inclusive, diverse, or gave a platform to voices that needed to be seen and heard within our current paradigms and societal climates, I guess. And comedy is our way. It's probably our natural way to deal with our own darkness, but it's the vehicle and the convention that we use to really hit home some deeper messaging. And, you know, it's great to be able to get audiences to laugh and relax and feel entertained and then just have this undercurrent and maybe a few gut punches actually to make them kind of go, oh, wow, I didn't expect to feel like this. You've just turned this on its head for me. And at least one of those ones that maybe hopefully makes you tick over a little bit for your own self and the own questions that come up from it as well.
So it's got a theatrical release.
We have a theatrical release. It's on this Thursday, the 16th of November. We've got national cinema coverage at least. And I mean, it'll probably only be up to a week theatrical window, which is, you know, still a dream. It's just a dream to have it happen. But we're very, very grateful to the support we've had so far from the cinemas that have locked us in. And we've got the Savage Christmas website where people can go and there's a list of all the sites there, which is helpful, of course. But we also had we had Cinefest the other month, and then BIFF, our homecoming premiere, Brisbane International Film Festival just recently. So we got to have a sold out cinema and really feel out the audience. And that was so well received. So it was a great shot in the arm for hopefully things to come this week.